The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. We are celebrating today the solemnity of the Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And if you have been paying attention since Easter Sunday to this point, we could sense and also discerned that all the post-resurrection appearances and encounters of Jesus with his disciples were really meant to prepare them for this day, for this big day. We refer to the solemnity of the Pentecost as the birthday of the church, the birthday of the church. And why and how did the church was born today? Well, it is this very day that the disciples, after 50 days of hiding, 50 days of locking themselves up, were now out in the open, ready to continue and proclaim the gospel. And from this day forward, the first Pentecost, we see how the gospel spread like wildfire. And we are beneficiaries of that this very day as church here in Beaverton. Those 50 days after the resurrection were meant to rekindle again that probably we could say lost faith of the disciples. Those 50 days after the resurrection were like an intensive retraining on the part of the disciples to relearn their faith, their commitment to discipleship. Those 50 days after the resurrection were also a period for them to be comfortable with their own strengths and weaknesses, to be comfortable in the restoration of friendship that Christ has been offering to them right after the resurrection. But Jesus knew the weaknesses of the disciples, that they would probably be still not confident in being on their own. So Jesus assured them, "I know you can do this, guys, but you will not gonna be doing this on your own. I'm going to be sending you and giving you my Spirit. This should give you more than enough confidence to do the will of the Father and to continue the mission that I started with you." And we see that after the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Blessed Mother, that they were no longer afraid. They were no longer afraid of their lives. They accepted who they were. broken vessels, but also with collaborating with the grace of God, they could do wonders. But how did the Holy Spirit do this to them? What happened? Well, the gospel today is really very instructive. One of the things that I've shared last night in my vigil masses was like, and I think I've shared this, I don't know what masses in the past years. Growing up, I had a hard time understanding the Holy Spirit. It's so easy for me to enter into relationship with God the Father, you know, as the creator and origin of all things. It is so easy for me to pray to the Father. It's also easy for me to pray to Jesus as my Savior. You know, we can see Jesus, the images of Jesus, just like one of us. It's so easy for me to pray to Jesus. But I had a very hard time praying to the Holy Spirit. It felt like, why do I need to pray to a dove, to a bird? I really had a hard time with that. Until I was sharing last night that it was on a retreat way back in the seminary, and there was this background during our adoration, and it was this song, you know, the Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, send me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And it just keep on repeating and repeating in the background, and it's just like, huh, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life and in our lives and also in the lives of the disciples. That's what happened in the gospel today. How did the Holy Spirit work in them? First and foremost, by melting their fears. From hiding, from being locked up, they were now out in the open. They were no longer afraid. There was this transformation that happened within them. You know, when something is melted, like a candle, when a candle is melted, it's no longer a candle after it's melted totally. It assumes a different form. So when God melts us and the Holy Spirit melts our fears and all of our being, He's transforming us into new persons. The Holy Spirit did not just melt the locked doorknobs where they were hiding. But most especially, the Holy Spirit melted their insecurities. The Holy Spirit melted their doubts. The Holy Spirit melted their bickerings. The Holy Spirit melted their ego. The Holy Spirit melted their desire for power. Everything that stood in the way for them to truly be one mind and one heart in the proclamation of the gospel. What is that thing in your life right now that still needs to be melted by the Holy Spirit because you're not yet 100%? You haven't bought in 100% to the gospel. And after we have been melted, what did the Holy Spirit do to the apostles in the gospel? He formed them. They were like new persons. Even people were saying in the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, were these people Galileans? Are these people not Galileans? Why are we able to hear them speaking in, you know, like the Medes, the Parthians, the Medes, understanding them? They were like new persons. But I don't know about you, but you know, whenever I'm struggling with a particular sin, and I always struggle on and off with particular sins, but when I finally free myself from a particular sin, it felt like I'm a new person. It felt like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel like I'm reborn. That's what happened with the disciples here. They were molded again into the very image and likeness of God that they were created from the very beginning, but they lost because of their indifference, their pride, and their sinfulness. And after they have been molded back and they are new persons, God does not just tell us, okay, guys, you are on your own. You are on your own. You know, could you imagine, right after my ordination, God will just whisper on me, okay, Carrie, seminary life, you did it already, you've received the grace of ordination. I'm just going to see you in the end. Could you imagine having that experience, you know, like in baptism, it's or confirmation, it's like, okay, you're on your own, no. Or the disciples, 50 days before that, they denied Jesus. And then 50 days after that, they were giving to them, he was giving to them the most important mission in the world. He was giving to them the most important mission in the world because God, Jesus, knows that he will not gonna abandon them. The Spirit would be with them. The Spirit would fill them after they have been molded back to their real identity. The Spirit fills them with his gifts. We heard what those gifts are in the second reading today from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And what are those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Is it time for me? No, it's my alarm. Just kidding. That was inappropriate on my part. I don't want to expose someone. Sorry. Now I'm totally lost. Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit right now. What are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, if there are days when you don't know what to pray, ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if ever you're praying every single day, which I hope you are, don't forget to ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every single day, we need wisdom. You know, all the divisions right now that are happening in the world, it's because, you know, the world lacks wisdom. The world lacks understanding. The world lacks knowledge. I mean, true knowledge from God. Counsel, fortitude, and all of these things. I'm not even thinking about the world. But just looking at the mess in my life, these seven gifts are really important for me to be able to just live my discipleship each day. So ask for these gifts. And after we have been filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are being sent out. We can no longer just practice the faith in private. You know, how many times, even myself sometimes, you know, so that I not to disturb or not to call attention, I try to keep my practice of the faith in private. For self-preservation, for whatever. The disciples were out there. And, you know, being sent, we don't have to look forward being sent to another place. I mean, like the missionaries that we have to Africa, to Asia, to Latin America, to the Amazon, and all of those things. We are first being sent to our own homes. If you're married, the first place that God is sending you is in your bedroom. In your bedroom. In our workplaces. And then we need to heed the advice of St. Francis of Assisi as he dispatched his brothers in their mission. You know, I love this definition of evangelization from St. Francis of Assisi. He said to his brothers, and I think this is a great reminder for us because sometimes we can be verbose, just like me. I can be verbose. But ultimately, it's all about witnessing. It's all about how we smile. It's all about how we touch one another. It's all about how we, you know, we are kind to one another. How we're not always in a hurry and forget to look at the eyes of people. We don't have to be verbose. These little things creates and builds the kingdom of God. Just like what Saint Francis said to his brothers, go and spread the gospel. Use words if necessary.